need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee. And join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Love that song, "Messy" by Lola Young. Just a great song. Anyway, that starts our Wednesday.
I know. It's a nice start for spring too. Isn't it absolutely gorgeous? I know we mentioned this last week, but oh my goodness, all the daffodils and the freesias and the beautiful spring blooms that are, I just love it, absolutely love it. Don't like the pollen.
No, I don't think anybody likes the pollen. Do you think they smell like they used to, the flowers, though? I kind of went past some freesias the other day, and they hardly smelt at all. They used to have such a lovely perfume.
It's funny you should say that. I thought it was just me and all this radioactive iodine I'd had, but I had a whole bunch of daffodils given to me that had freesias all around the bottom of them, and I agree. I sniffed them away, and I went, oh, okay, it must be just me. I haven't got any smell at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
Is that right? How on earth could they take the smell out of flowers?
They have some smell, but nothing like I remember. You know, they used to be very fragrant. Although sometimes if you walk into the garden centres now, you do smell all of the lovely, but then that's probably all of the flowers at once. But even roses, I think, have lost a lot of their...
I'm with you. I remember the days when you had a bowl of a bunch of flowers sitting on the bench and you could smell them the minute you walked in the garage, sort of thing. It wafted right through the whole house.
Yeah.
And that certainly doesn't happen nowadays. Anyway, I don't know how that could happen. Maybe it's all the chemicals and the bugs and the flowers and that as well. I don't know.
Actually, that is interesting when you talk about your smell going after your treatment. Have you noticed that?
Well, only when I couldn't smell the freesias.
Yeah, right.
I can still smell everything else. I won't say that word that I was going to say, but I can definitely still smell myself every now and then. So, no, I don't think my smell's gone. My taste is definitely gone. I'm not having any glass of wine at night at the moment because it's just a waste of money.
Well, they Just put a bit of water in a wine glass and you'll just feel like you're drinking a wine anyway.
Well, might as well. I mean, I'm drinking loads of water. I can taste the salt water. You know, I'm drinking salt water at the moment, which is a really good detoxing thing. Salt water with ginger in it. And boy, I can taste the salt, which is really yuck. But no, my food, everything, taste is out the door.
Isn't it interesting how things affect you? And it's just making me actually think back to COVID, because wasn't that smell and taste, or was it just smell? I can't even remember anymore. But it affected one of those, didn't it? I think it was smell that it affected, that you couldn't smell things if you had, who knows. But yeah, interesting how treatments, muck up all our senses a little bit.
I know. And when you really think about it, you know, our senses are so, so vital, really. I mean, every single one of our senses is there for a reason. And if we haven't got our touch, you know, a lot of people, they don't feel things when they touch anymore because, you know, we didn't have all the light and the glasses and things that we had, in the old days, we didn't have them. And so you recognized the fabric from touching it more than being able to read a label and flowers, smelling them and tasting something to know what's in it so that you know what to put, what else to put in it. You know, all of that's gone. We haven't got any of that anymore.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting too how they all work together? Because there's been that little bit of research on those dinners that people have every so often where you're blindfolded and you're meant to try and figure out what food you're eating. And because some of your senses are taken away, people find it really, really difficult to know what you're eating.
I don't think that show will be on anymore. If it is on, is it still on?
I don't know. I just remember reading about it because they were commenting on it, and I know someone that actually went and they really struggled to figure out what they were eating.
Well, the funny thing is many, many, many years ago when I was taught by this Italian chef, that was one of the things he made me do. I had to shut my eyes and he'd put something in my mouth and I had to tell him what it was. And it was part of really growing my taste buds and everything to do with food, all the sensory things related to food. And that was part of learning as a chef back in those days. But Well, it was how I was trained as a chef. I don't know whether everybody taught their chefs like that in those days, but I remember Gordon Ramsay doing a show one time, and he was very focused on people being able to taste what the ingredient was instead of using their eyes. So I think all the old chefs taught like that, and they wouldn't be able to teach like that anymore.
Yeah, funny, isn't it? Eh? Just some of those things when we take away one little thing, how it changes. And I suppose that, you know, it makes you kind of reflect on those people that have had something taken away, whether it's their eyesight or their hearing, to how they must adjust, you know, and some of the other senses take over and help you kind of get through.
Now, this will throw a pigeon in the works out there. I don't think that's a correct saying, but it was something like that.
I'm just trying to think of that saying as well. Yeah, this was from something in the works.
It is something like that. But isn't that interesting that man is now far inferior than he was back in the days when you had all your faculties working properly? Man is inferior.
That's an interesting comment, isn't it? Because we're fixing everything that's wrong, and so we keep fixing stuff. Yeah. Now, then that is a pigeon in the works. No. What's the saying? John, now I'm just trying to think of, what that saying is. But yes, absolutely. So we're a different being than what we were maybe many years ago because technologically we can make things work for somebody.
Well, we do actually live longer, but I'm not so sure that that's a good thing, you know? We certainly do live longer, and there are certainly some extremely healthy people still enjoying their life to the utmost at 80, 90 years, well, 80 years of age anyway. I think 90 might be pushing it a little bit. I don't know that that's a terribly good thing when you think about all the rest of it that we've lost in the process.
Yeah, that's a real interesting thought, and I've just remembered it. A spanner in the works. There you go.
Oh, a spanner in the works. Where did the bird come from?
I have no idea. I think that comes with age and you can't remember what the word is.
Oh, you blame my age again. No, there is. There's a budgie. There's a bird in the hand, but there's a budgie in the pie. Oh, no, that's a magpie. I don't know.
But yes, right, yeah. And so does that also diminish our quality of life as well, living longer and just because we can and, you know, pop a few more pills and, yeah, that's an interesting question.
I think our quality of life is just, what I consider to be quality of life is just right out the door. I've been getting a pile of stuff on Instagram lately because I was doing a lot of research, for friends of mine that are coming over here to New Zealand and they're into loads of adventure stuff, and B, you know, looking at getting super healthy so next year I can go to China or go to Canada or go somewhere, you know. And so I've been looking at a whole pile of stuff and it's absolutely amazing me all the stuff that they've got around the world that they've created to make it adventurous, you know, to create the adventure. The adventure is no longer discovering the Nile or climbing Mount Everest. The adventure is hopping on some man-made railroad thing that will go up a metal pole and drop down again over a river. And, you know, the adventure is all man-made and created to push people to their scream factor. It's not about discovery and learning and achieving. It's just all about doing the next man-made adventure creation, you know. And they've got these amazing, amazing places. They've got these huge hikes that go up huge mountains in China that you sit on a train that takes you up. It's not really a train. It's an open-air thing. I mean, it's amazing what they've created to satisfy that lust for adventure, but without doing any effort, having any effort involved in it.
That's the point, isn't it? You can do all of this stuff and you don't need any effort to do it, where you're right, years ago you needed to put a bit of effort into it. And imagine what you would have found on the way, which now you miss out on, because as you say, you get zipped up in a car or whatever, you know, a cable car or whatever it is, and you miss a whole lot of stuff on the way. You're right. So they're creating the adventure they want us to have and telling us this is an adventure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that they're creating the adventure that they want us to have. I think that's what the 20-year-olds of this day and age are asking for. Mm. You know, that's what they are going to and buying in multiple packs rather than doing something else. And like the queues that go up Mount Everest, which is still happening. I saw a video the other day about it. So they've still got these massive queues of people that are going up Mount Everest, but they've also got these massive support systems involved now to get them up there and get them back down. And that's probably about the most dangerous adventure that you can see in the world today. Everything else has all been packed up in cotton wool, and it's still beautiful, and it's still, I mean, some of these amazing valleys and canyons that they have in China are just absolutely stunningly gorgeous. But what happened to walking it and meeting the local people in the process, you know?
Oh, I think that's long gone, but you're right. You know, is it what the people want these days? You know, but you're right. You don't get to see the locals because you're just pushed onto this thing and would take your money off you and not, you know, away you go. And you can tick it off and say, well, I've been there, done that, seen it. But have you? You know, you've seen it in one set of eyes, but maybe quite different to what somebody else would want to see from there.
And the other thing I noticed is they make to look like a lot of the video games.
Oh.
Well, you think about video games and, you know, like the nicer ones, the ones that aren't all blood and guts and everything. And these adventure things are made to look like a lot of those video games.
Or are the video games made to look like the adventure?
Uh-huh.
Who came first, the chicken or the egg?
Don't know. It's certainly somebody who's smart enough to tap into the likes and wants of the younger generation today, that's for sure.
That's what tourism's all about though, isn't it? So what kind of thinking about the one thing in New Zealand which you thought would be a great adventure for your friends coming over, what have you found?
Nothing much. They're not into bungee jumping, they're not going to do that. They're not into climbing the side of the mountain. Waitomo is going to be brilliant for them. That's going to be fantastic. They will love that. And, of course, I'll definitely get them to a Maori concert of some sort.
Cool.
Somewhere along the line. Probably just take them through Rotorua. I think that's probably the best Maori experience for tourists is going through there. But, you know, things like our Queenstown is wonderful, but hey, you know, Canada, come on.
Yes.
Nothing compared to what Canada's got. So it's quite hard. Our beaches, because I know where Heather and Richard come from, I'm going to be looking at pushing them a little bit further north, and they haven't got that long. They've only got about 15 days. They haven't decided yet. So I'm thinking I might get them up through the Kauri Forest and our beautiful east coast beaches up in Northland. That will be something that they don't see a lot of. So it's quite interesting. They're well travelled, and so it's quite interesting trying to plan something for them because they've seen so much, you know.
Mind you, remember, every place is different, even though, you know, when you talk about Queenstown, it looks quite different, you know. It could be it's the same but different, just with the different fauna and flora and stuff.
Yeah.
But you're right, trying to find something where it's a little bit different. Yeah, the culture.
I want it to be fantastic for the short time they've got here, you know. If they were here for 30 days, then, yeah, not a problem. But when they're only here for 15 days, it's like, and they're quite keen on the camper van idea because they get to see more. You know, they're into really exploring and seeing stuff. So they'll probably hire a camper van and we'll chug off along together. So, yes, it's going to be fun getting it sorted. And it's in March, so it's still not super cold, but it's not super hot either in March. So
that's true. Yeah. And it's nice, I think, you know, whether it's you're just tootling along in your camper van or car or whatever, just going through, because you can stop wherever for a cup of tea, you know. We used to do that, you know, whether we're nerdy or not, we used to take a flask with us, and so we just stopped somewhere along the road. Actually, I think at one stage we had this little gas burner with a little teapot on, and we just stopped somewhere, just wherever you fancied, and have a cup of tea and just soak in, you know, whatever the scenery or whatever it was where you were. And you can do that just when you've got a little bit of time. Just to have a look around.
I think that will be quite nice, and having the camper van will be nice on along those lines, because neither one of them swim that much either. So I'm looking forward to that.
You could go through Whangamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongamongam
I mean, I've driven past that sign. So just to show them the sign. I can see Richard's face now. I can see him looking at it, looking at Heather, looking at me, and looking at it and going, what's the point?
We stayed in Whangamangmana a while ago, but what I would like to do actually is the little golf carts along the rail track, because there's some amazing, amazing bush through there. And I think that that was actually someone thinking that was a bit clever using that. I'd love to also go there on their open day, you know, where you've got to get a passport and the train goes, takes you down there and you get your passport stamped and you're allowed in there for the day and away you, and that's it, and back on the train and off you go again. Yeah, that's kind of on my little bucket list, which is, yeah, something little, but there you go.
Well, that's interesting, because I don't know what you're talking about. Are you talking about the Forgotten Highway?
Yes, absolutely. So they once a year they open, yep, they open, well, and yep, you have a passport. So you get a passport and you go down on the train and you have to have your little passport stamped. I think the mayor at the moment is a goat, or it might have changed actually. But yeah, I just think what a quirky little place, and good on them for doing what they did.
Well, I'm going to add that to my list then, because I have done the Forgotten Highway twice actually, but quite a few years ago, and they certainly didn't have a goat as a mayor, and they certainly didn't have a little railway that was taking people all through. We stayed in the old prison accommodation, you know where I'm talking about, where they've turned the prison accommodation into little cabins for people to book in. And we went through all the old historic buildings and places with all these old historic men, with all these things that they've saved for centuries and centuries, and wonderful creatures to talk to. I mean, it was just for hours. You stood there for hours talking to them. So that's the sort of thing that Richard will love. Those old men will love Richard. He will quite happily stand there for 4 hours while Heather and I will go off and have a muffin and a cup of coffee and go back again. So I did actually have the Forgotten Highway on my list, but now you've just made it, pushed it up the list a little bit.
Yeah, no, an amazing place, and just amazing old bush that you go through there as well. So, hey, for our listeners out there, if you've got anything that you think Irene should put on her list for her friends coming across from Canada, do let us know on the Facebook page. Love to know those little places that maybe we didn't even know about. But that's it for us today. We'll see you the same time, same place next week.
I found a love for me.